It's that time of the month again. It's that time of the year again where we get all excited about switching modes.
Oh,
if you
yes.
like, if you like. For those who've not been here before, this is the DigiEnable podcast. My name's Darren. This is Liz. Very
Hello.
Good to have you along today. It's June, which for most people, for many people, you have that bit of a mental switch, don't you? Where you kind of go, you're past that point where you've been getting through the year. Now we're looking towards the end of the year. The countdown has begun. It will soon be 2025.
Oh, okay. So I don't think we're right quite ready for that.
Do you know, I just realised, I said
were
that
you
out
just
going
to mention Christmas as well?
No, I wasn't going to talk about Christmas because that would be ridiculous and ruin everyone's day, but well done on doing that.
But the next year's okay.
But you know what, as I said it out loud, 2025 sounds like the future. 2024
right.
last year didn't sound like the future.
Oh,
it sounded
okay.
like next year. 2025 sounds like the future.
Because there's a lot of sci-fi based things in the 80s that we watched that had that date on it.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. That could be subconscious. I'll be honest, I'm making this up as I go along.
Okay,
so, but there you go.
Nothing
you
new
go.
There.
Anyway, just a reminder, you are listening to the DigiEnable podcast, not some weird ramblings of some guy who's just realised he's still alive. But we've got loads
and
loads to talk about today.
And also, it's nearly summer, and I think, you know, June is a great time to, you know, we've done January, we've done April. They're kind of both New Year's, if you will. April, you know, a lot of businesses and organisations have, like, new tax years, new financial years, new projects starting. June is the perfect time because we're ramping up to summer holidays, if we, you know, have the ability to have them.
Nope.
And then and then September, which is, you know, kind of back to school year. June, I think, has that we're all positive, we're motivated, we're getting our heads down, we're getting stuff done ahead of getting ready for September.
Yeah. It's planning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, it's weird actually talking about planning. So I was in Preston at the weekend and it was a beautiful day, beautiful sunny day on Saturday, and was walking through. And you know, I've been around for a long time. I've been around Preston for quite some time now. So you kind of walk through the area, kind of head down a little bit, not really paying attention. But I tell you what, walk through the flag market, and there's just this massive queue all the way along the flag market. Do you know where this is going?
I think I do.
So I've been seeing these guys. For anyone that uses TikTok on a regular basis, you'll be familiar with Spud Bro. Now, these are the guys, two young guys in Preston, that have got the Spud van in the middle of Preston. It's been there for like 100 years, but they took over it about a year ago and it's absolutely exploded, become this TikTok sensation. And it always amazed me actually that every time you see one of their TikToks, they open up the front and there's a queue all the way across the flag market as soon as they start. I have to be honest, social media being social media, I was slightly skeptical about that, but there was actually a long queue of people waiting for it. So they've done an amazing job, like brilliant job of actually getting the brand out there. Why was I telling you that? Anyway, it'll come back to me. But you know when you have those moments where, you know, like if you buy a red car and you're driving down the motorway and you suddenly see red cars, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So I was impressed and saw the van. It started thinking about TikTok and promotion and marketing and what a great job they're doing. Then as I went and sat in a popular coffee shop, I was kind of scrolling through my phone, as we often do, kind of keeping up with all the latest tech news, digital news.
Yeah.
And the very first article that came up was this kind of thing that's going on in the US at the moment around the potential TikTok ban.
Right, yes.
And I just kind of put those sort of two and two together because what the Spud Bro have got very, very good at recently is they share information on making potatoes. And they share the videos of the people coming up to it.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot more engaged with fans recently where they're actually answering some of those questions. One of those questions that came up recently was, if the hype dies down, if people stop being so interested in potatoes, what's your kind of plan?
Yeah.
And they actually said, well, even with a small number of people, because of the amount that we stream and the amount of content we put out there, we're still going to make money from the TikTok Creator Fund, from different views
Adverts.
That we get, from YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
So they very cleverly got this monetized idea. However, the article I saw in the coffee shop was, there's a lot of TikTok creators at the moment that are really worried, especially in the US, because if the government in the US, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they get to push through this idea that they don't want TikTok around anymore, there's going to be a real backlash to that.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of content creators that the creation of what they do and what the platforms are that they use and the advertisements and the paid sponsorship that they might agree to create content around, if the platform doesn't exist or they're not allowed to use it in their country, then that is a large stream of income for them, you know, especially if it's not the side hustle on top of a job that they already do somewhere else. You know, we're always saying don't put your eggs in one basket, aren't we, for business purposes. That's exactly what they've done if they're just saying, right, well, I'm getting all my money from TikTok. So, you know, yes, if you've got different platforms and things like that, you can spread the risk a little bit. But at the end of the day, you're putting all your business acumen and potential financing in the future into someone else's hands. Even as much as you're thinking you're creating your content, you're creating your own money, you're still at the behest of a platform. And now the government that are going to potentially dictate whether or not you can utilise that in your country that you're based in.
But this is where the interesting argument comes, and it does get a little bit political, is that those in America that are arguing this, I'll find the article and I'll send it so we can stick it in the show notes.
Yeah.
On today's thing. But basically they're saying, by the government saying you are not allowed this outlet, you are not allowed to make money from this outlet, they are actually breaching the First Amendment of the American Constitution, which is the freedom to press, the freedom to express yourself. Now, that's where it gets very interesting, because completely get the American government's response that there are security concerns, there is issues with just being able to share information on an app, primarily one which is through a Chinese parent company.
Well, exactly.
However, have you got the rights to tell people they can no longer create and entertain or share information or have a voice? Mm-hmm. It's such a delicate debate, and it does almost feel like there is going to have to be a legal intervention at some point to make that decision. Would we go down that same route in the UK? Admittedly, we don't have that same constitution. We have the sort of human rights angle, if you like. But, you know, who knows?
I think the WhatsApps of the world that's owned by Meta, the Facebook people, we as the UK are actually under certain GDPR laws that mean that WhatsApp can't advertise to us in certain ways. So there are things through the Data Protection Act in the UK that could be part of those. But I mean, the thing is, if one platform gets shut down by one kind of nation, then that sets a precedence for all the others starting to do the same.
Also, arguably, if you considered that TikTok lost all its American creators and participants, would it still be the same app that would be as attractive to people to use?
It depends where the mass number of people are based, and I would guess it's mainly America that are the users and the creators of that platform. I just think it's a bit ironic that this is happening with a Chinese-based company where, you know, you basically have very strict limitations on the tools you can use, the apps you can use, the platforms you can look at on the internet. You know, it's definitely not a kind of open freedom there either. So, you know, it's kind of, it's two-sided, that, isn't it?
Definitely one to keep an eye on. But there are two sides to this. One, absolutely be aware of this. But two, if you are a content creator and you've not looked at the Creator Fund, you know, there is money to be made there. Once you get above 10,000 viewers, for every, I'm not sure the exact numbers, but I think it's about, for every 10,000 views you get on one of your videos as part of the Creator Fund, you get paid a quid. But there are also there are also extra rules that are now coming into place, that if you're resharing other people's content, if you're streaming games, if it's not what they consider quality content, you also won't get paid on those.
So
there's a lot of interest. I mean, social media platforms always transition, don't they? That's the kind of nature of it. And we as marketers have to transition with those platforms. But government intervention is quite new.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not sure how they're going to actually police it, and, you know, other than just, you know, shut it down via your international sort of dialing code or IP address your internet's coming in from. However,
people just start using VPNs.
VPN, exactly. Yeah, so there's workarounds with everything like that. It's whether it's going to be a, you know, kind of finable law that gets put in place, and then that will put people off, because if they get found out, that's a legal thing rather than a process.
And the question is this really where the American government should be focusing their attention? Because there are lots more important things going on in the world. So you sent me a story the other day, still shooketh to my core. Doge is dead.
Oh, it's Doge. Oh, I'm so sad. So, yeah, so if you haven't heard the very sad news, after 14 years, the claim to fame of Dogecoin, which is, you know, the kind of the cyber currency of the world that had a picture of a very cute sideways looking doggy.
Was it a Labrador? Like it was a skeptical. It was that goldeny colour, wasn't it?
It was a Japanese Shiba Inu.
Right, not a Labrador.
No.
Okay.
It was quite a big fluffy. They called it like a golden coloured.
We could
dog
have played that guessing game for about 5 days. I'd never have got to that.
I know. It's a very specific Japanese dog because it's a Japanese style breed. I'm not up to date with my dogs, to be honest. But probably about 10 years ago. There was a photo that her owner posted online. It had this kind of cute, but sort of a Yushua face, I think was the look. Like, really? That kind of sound, but epitomised in visuals, if you can imagine that, if you haven't seen the image before, became a very popular meme for many, many years, probably the last 10 years. And the past couple of years, it's dwindled a bit. But the biggest claim to fame was it became Doge currency, which was a cyber currency that literally had the little doggy's face on it. And it was just this one iconic photo that was part of the promo and the memes and everything. And it was a way that people communicate. And it was probably one of the most popular memes when memes were maybe at the height of popularity, when social media, you know, was becoming a thing, chat apps were becoming more prevalent, GIFs and GIFs and stickers were all becoming more and more prevalent. So there's probably about 10 years ago, but yeah, sadly the dog has died at age 14 years old, which I think
it's a decent age for a dog.
It's a decent age for a dog, so for a dogie. That's it, it's Dogie coin. But yeah, so I saw that was last week. Quite sad really, because you know that kind of history where, let's face it, just a simple everyday family dog became claim to fame based on social media, based on online communications. You know, anything can become famous, really.
You know, and it feels like memes have died off a little bit, like saying we don't use them so much.
Yeah.
Have I told you I've been watching the latest series of The Circle on Netflix?
Oh, okay.
So really interesting twist this time. I'm only on like episode, I think I'm on episode 4 at the moment.
Right.
But for the first 3 episodes, so basically episode 1, 6 new people go into The Circle. They're all chatting away, getting to know each other, blah, blah, blah. One person is then made the influencer, that's the most popular person in the group, and they got to pick the new participant that was going to come into the circle and join in the game.
Okay.
What they didn't tell them is that new person that was coming into the circle was actually an AI bot. So in the room itself, they've got this AI computer sat on the desk, and they've programmed it by showing it all previous series of The Circle. And the idea was, can AI figure out the best possible way to become popular, to fool people and blah, blah, blah. Mm. But what really made what you just said stand out to me, they were trying to give people all the clues to figure out who the AI actually was. So they had this quiz where they let everyone take part called How Human Am I? And one of the things they actually showed them, you know that meme where there's a guy walking down the road with his girlfriend, another woman walks in the opposite direction, he looks behind him and you can see the girl looking over her shoulder.
Yes, I know.
So they had this kind of empathy quiz and they sort of said, what is the woman thinking in this situation?
Nice.
And really, I don't know whether it's random, whether it's scary, whether it's actually a good indication of where we are with AI. The response that the AI gave was actually voted more human than what most of the humans actually put down on there. So it shows that kind of, you know, one, it's relating to memes that we're just kind of talking about, AI is still progressing at such a rate. It even fooled one guy in the circle who is an AI coder himself.
Brilliant.
But it was very, very human. And when you actually go to that level of analysis of previous shows to see what winners have done, what's worked, what sort of statements, even down to what hashtags pervade personality in many ways, so super smart. But first time I've seen a meme pop up on TV in a while.
And has the AI bot got rejected from the program yet? Or is it still in
play? So they got to the point where they asked everyone to vote on who they thought the AI was, and there's a woman called Steffi who wasn't an AI, she was human. She got voted the AI, so she was kicked out. But then, when she came on to do her, "I'm sorry guys, I was real,"
yeah,
the screen glitched and the AI jumped in and revealed himself, so they've now taken him out. So he was only there as a kind of short term part of a task, if you like, on the actual quiz. But it's really kind of opened up everyone's eyes a little bit to, you know, we're always looking at that show and going, is someone a catfish? Do I know who they really are? The question is now, are they human?
Got you.
So yeah, very, very, very smart. What was interesting though, the woman who did get labelled the AI and thing, the reason why they give her AI, she was a very spiritual woman. So she says she was a psychic, but she didn't want to kind of say that within the circle, she might put people off.
Yeah.
Well, at least all the jokes about she should have seen this coming then, shouldn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
But there was a section where she got everyone together on like the second day and said, let's do a brief yoga session together, and she had everyone doing cat-cow and sun salutations.
Yeah.
Then she offered to read the horoscopes of a few people in the chapter. I've gone very BNI. within the group. But when people had to give their reasons of why they thought she was an AI, that's actually what they focused on. Because they said when she did the yoga stuff, she was very simplistic, easily findable yoga moves. So she went for the very basics that everyone would know. And perhaps AI would say these are the simplest. But they also said that the horoscopes that she gave for people were exactly the sort of thing that you would get from an AI horoscope generator. The words and stuff like that. So actually,
that's a shame.
Her being too giving, putting too much information from within her head out there is what labelled her as being too knowledgeable, and too knowledgeable equals AI.
And I think also, like, on the horoscopes front, like, there are years and years of horoscopes out there online that you could probably just pull and copy from.
I think it was language.
Well,
no, she used one sentence, which, well, and I would have questioned this because I don't know what the word means.
Right.
But it was something along the lines of, you know, Liz, it's going to be a good month for you because Venus trines with your moon.
Oh, right. Okay,
now, that word trines is not part of my vocabulary. Oh, and it seemed like everyone else was kind of like, what sort of human use the word trines?
Right,
stuff.
Okay.
But obviously it's
like crosses
I'm,
over
I'm assuming
summer.
It's horoscope speak.
Yeah. It's planet speak. You know, when like one planet crosses over another.
Right, okay.
Something like that.
So it seems like that little thing just put everyone's
too posh a word.
Antennas up.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's a shame that they didn't see two more rockets. You know, when you're using ChatGPT, loves
Sparkle
a good
stars.
Rocket emoji. So that would have been the killer for me. If someone put a rocket emoji anywhere in them posts, that's it. I'd be like, you're a ChatGPT AI bot or whatever.
Whenever I'm reading LinkedIn posts, if it gets down to the final bit of someone's LinkedIn post, it goes, overall. Go, okay.
Overall, okay. Robot emoji.
No. There's no need for a summary. Actually, probably that was going to be a spring thing, because it's probably the first podcast in a while where we've not actually had AI on the agenda. So
no, it's not. And do you know what? Actually, it's there was a stat out there at the end of last month that said percentage of people using AI has dropped. Now, I mean, I haven't really mentioned this in today's show notes because it was a small number of research participants, and I think it's rubbish because I think what we're seeing, especially in the training side of DigiEnable, people getting over the fact we've just had a play about with it, we get the idea of what it could be, but we don't understand the how do we use it for work, or how do we use it for business, or how do we use it for projects. And you think now we're starting to think, right, it's one of the tools in our toolbox. It's not going to completely take over everything we're doing. We still need to add the humans in, which is great. I think we've got over that barrier that people have been worrying about. And now people are coming to us and actually saying, like, we want to learn more about how we can use AI to implement into our workflows, our writing, like speeding up the processes of certain things as a starter and then moving forward. So I think people aren't not using it less. I think they're being more strategic when they do use it.
Yes.
And they maybe are doing larger chunks of work rather than dipping in every day and having a play about with it and not really doing anything very productive.
Yes.
I think that's how it's changed.
No, it makes sense. I have realised, as you've been talking about this, we're now 20 minutes into the podcast. What we did plan to talk about today, nothing has actually happened. We've kind of just got off subjects which seemed apparent.
But
it's all been very interesting.
Stuff.
But yeah, we'll have to make some changes to the show notes when they go out after this. I tell you, the one thing that stood out for me this week, and there's been quite a lot of work, is this news from Google Business recently. So for those that have kept up with what we're doing at the moment, we have a couple of businesses. We've got DigiEnable, that's where you're hearing this podcast from, but we've also got CanDo Leads. And CanDo Lead provides software into businesses, which helps them automate their marketing and just get stuff going on autopilot. Now, one thing which has been working so, so well in terms of generating money and business for businesses is a Google chat function, which not many people know about.
Yeah.
So basically, when you set up your Google business profile, there was an option on something like the fifth page when you were setting it up that said, would you like to turn on this chat feature? And what that meant is that anyone that was searching for a business online, if they found you in Google Maps, rather than clicking website or call, they could have also clicked chat. And that chat would have connected directly into your Google account, and they could have sent you an inquiry or a message.
Nice.
A lot of people use that feature.
Right, okay.
And what we did with our software is we connected up to the back end of that. So not only did it then sit in your email, it pulled it into our software. Our AI bots could kind of nurture it a little bit and then pass it on to you as well. So for the plumbers, for the electricians, for the roofers, for the joiners, for the decorators that we work with, super powerful.
Yeah.
Works really, really well. Google have decided to turn that off. So from July the 31st, Google Chat is no longer going to be available. So we're already working on plans how to get around this for our clients. But, and I don't mind sharing with this you guys today, here's what you've absolutely got to do. People want to buy your services. People are looking for you online. People are looking for people like you online. If they come across your Google profile, they then want to make touch and they want to ask questions. People still don't like picking up the phone.
Yeah,
we see that statistically all the time. So you've got to give them an easy one-click way to get in touch.
Yeah.
If they can't see a chat button on Google Business, the next button they're going to click is to be able to go to your website.
Yeah.
So now, more than ever, having a very simple way for people to connect with you via your website is going to be absolutely essential, or you're literally going to be throwing away business. We tend to do that through chatbots or through little kind of inquiry windows that we build onto websites to make it very easy for someone to click, leave an inquiry, and that comes through to you that you can then respond to. But it's amazing how many websites still make it very, very difficult for people to get in touch.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I think people have just, if they did like phoning people, I think the reduction in customer service people, increase in, you know, the duration of time. I was trying to sort my car insurance out the other day and must have spent 20 minutes on hold. And so you can get why people would choose to do a message, because they can message and then fine, it might not be a live chat transaction, but then you can crack on, do the rest of your day, and then as and when they're free, you know, you're not almost pinned into one location to you know, do one particular form of comms where you're just waiting. Like, the minute they go hello and you're like, oh, I've just gone on and done something else because you've taken 20 minutes of my time, there's that expectation you just be there to answer the phone. So I totally get that, and I think, you know, the kind of the messaging apps are there, still are a future of communications for businesses and other organizations. I think, you know, that's never going to go away.
No, and it's like we've seen in the past, there are always tools which disappear and stop being used. And our challenge is always to look at what's going to be the most obvious replacement.
Absolutely.
For those. So so it is a little bit gutting that it's disappearing. It is going to have an impact on some of our clients, but it's our job as always to be ahead of the game and find that next solution.
Exactly. There's loads of other options out there, and I think it's also just being clear to those clients or potential customers, like how, like you said, what is the first button people click on? How can they get in touch with you as easily as possible? And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yes, that.
We were talking about AI and not being any AI in today's session, but...
Session, you're about session. New chapters.
I was just thinking, you know, when you're talking about horoscopes and wouldn't that be cool to do horoscopes as like a business networky thing?
No.
And that would be pretty cool.
No.
Okay, two different worlds there. I think that would be quite interesting. Like,
I'm always
you're a Leo. You're like, in business.
You know those Chinese restaurants that you go to where they always stick a few fortune cookies in the end as well? I know, you see people and they open up and it goes, the next month of your life is going to be incredible. Things will change so much for the better.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you open it up and it kind of goes, new people will come into your life that will change the way you look at the future.
Yeah,
expect
like
good things.
Yeah.
I open it up and it just says made in Taiwan. I would look forward to horoscopes.
Well, okay, fair enough. I think that could be quite a clever initiative, though. But the tool that I want to share with us under processes and workflows this time is the Canvas Magic Media. There's still a load of people that don't know this exists. So yes, there are the paid-for ChatGPTs of the world that have DALL-E embedded, which is all about creating images. There are lots of tools out there. It's also a big thing that we do a digital review tool with our clients as well, is what have you got access to? And if you haven't looked at a particular tool that you're paying for or you're accessing, what other features are there inside that program or resource that you just haven't had the time to look at? Because this is a scenario. If you use Canva, have you checked out the Magic Media tool? It's an AI feature that will enable you to use a text-based prompt to create a brand new image just for you using AI and or video. Video includes using credits though, so it will cost you if you're on the free version. But it's kind of twofold there. Have a look at what you're already using. So if you're using Canva and you've just never come across that feature, check it out. You can find it when you're loading an image. You can go to the left-hand side, go to apps, and then start typing in magic and it'll come up, Magic Media. There's a page, I'll pop the link, AI-image-generator, onto the website. But I mean, also have a look at what you're already using, because there's so many other features now. So Zoom, that we do a lot of training on, has so many AI-based summary features, translation features, that if you're not looking at what options are new, or you're looking at release notes for a piece of tech, it's worth spending 10 minutes, once a week, checking out what you're using and if there's any new features since the last time you really had a shop around your platform, because there's lots of stuff out there and a lot of it now is using AI.
Yeah, Canva's phenomenal, isn't it? And I think a lot of people don't understand the full power of it. I must have had 3 conversations in the last few weeks where people say to me, how do you generate these QR codes? Canva. How do you take the background off an image? Canva.
Yeah.
How do you do this? Canva. Yeah. It's usually just the way. Yeah. And if you've not explored it, exactly as you say, go down into the app section, just have a look what's there, because there'll be a ton of stuff that you're not using and have the potential to use.
Yeah.
And this is often when it comes to marketing, I kind of find this is, you don't think of a feature or a promotion or a marketing option until you look at the tools you've got available to yourself.
Yeah.
So do explore.
I think that will prompt your ideas of what options are available. And you know, a lot of this is included in the free Canva version as well. So lots of images, lots of video you can create, lots of templates that make just, again, that speeding up that process of creating a graphic dead quick as well.
Yeah. Let's talk productivity then. I know you're always out and about teaching people to do more with their time. What's going on at the moment?
Do more with less, I guess.
Yeah.
So we are in June. Our next live webinar as part of our 2024 Productivity Club webinar program is in July. July's topic, we'll be talking about how to harness your energy to get more stuff done in less time, reclaim your time, energy and focus. And if you haven't understood or learned about chronotypes before, we're going to talk about that. The different type of, you might have heard early birds and night owls. Well, there's some scientific versions of that that are backed up by a doctor called Michael Breas, who names himself the sleep doctor, because it's all about what times you wake up and go to bed and when are you your optimal time for doing work and projects and anything else. There's a book about it as well. You can check it out. It's called The Power of When, and we're going to be talking about that as part of our July webinar. But now is the time. Again, we're talking about June. All of the recordings of all the sessions we've done so far as part of the 2024 webinar program are still included. So if you've missed the 3 live ones that we've done this year so far, you get the recordings. It's £99 for the whole year's worth of recordings and the rest of the live events to go and the recordings of those. So it's an absolute fabulous and also really cost-saving deal. I think the cost of it, if you were going to buy everything separately, would be like 266 GBP. So you're saving a lot of money if you come join us for that programme. And we've just decided that because we've had lots of great feedback from everyone, that we will be doing it in 2025 as well.
It's interesting, isn't it, when people actually come to these sessions, because sometimes, almost regardless of the topic, it's just that time to actually focus and think about themselves. And I know I've sat in the back of some of your sessions where you've talked about chronotypes before, and people will kind of go through the quiz, they'll do the online stuff, and they'll come out at the end and they get to speak to the person next to them and go, I'm a bear, I'm a wolf, which is always a random conversation to hear in any kind of room. But just the fact they've actually thought about some of their aspects of their life and where they're wasting time and how they feel at certain types of the day, it just gives them those little kind of niggles in the back of their brain to say, could I be doing things a little bit better? And obviously from the people you work with, the answer very often is absolutely.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect either. You know, I spend a lot of time reading, updating, trying new things for myself so that we can support our clients with that as well. And I'm forever tweaking different things. Like, is there a better time that I could have this meeting that works for both the people involved? Or is there something that I can do activity-wise that, I mean, for me, first thing in the morning, I need to do something easy to, like, wake my brain up. I know crashing into something first thing in the morning is not the optimal time, because actually it'll take longer to do it. And if I'd have done something else and eased myself into it, I would have probably done it in a lesser amount of time. So there's lots of strategic pieces where you start to think, when is the best time for me to do this? And focus that around it instead. And do you know what? It makes so much difference. So if you haven't already signed up to our webinar program, do come and join us for that. July the 11th will be the live date. But if you can't make that live, there will be the recording afterwards.
Absolutely. Which ties in nicely to the product of the month, because I mean, going right back to the very start of this podcast, when I talked about reading these articles while I'm sat in a coffee shop in Preston,
you told
me about this a long, long time ago, so it's always been there. If I was just trying to find articles which were coming across my line of vision at the time I happened to be sat there, I probably would have missed that article about TikTok and about the American government. But it's because I'd seen it, I thought that was going to be of interest at some point, I've saved it to my pocket, and then read that at a later time. That Pocket app seems to be a bit of a game changer in terms of keeping up with the type of news you want to keep up with.
It's also helpful to not get distracted while you're doing things as well. So this is what we would class a read later app. So you've seen an article, you might be using an app on your phone to save it to the thing called the Pocket. Others are available, but that's our favourite here. Again, it's free up to a certain limit. You get a Google Chrome extension that you can just click, and if it's logged in, it'll save it there straight away. That helps you. So if you're saying, like, right, I'm doing my emails or I'm doing my social media and I'm scrolling through and there's this article that looks really interesting, but if I go down the rabbit hole of reading the article now, that might be 5 to 10 minutes that I'm getting distracted from what I was planning to do, but I've also potentially, in inverted commas, wasting my time doing that and not doing the thing that I was planning to do. So getpocket.com, brilliant app, works on browsers and iOS and Android as well. I just go, right, that looks interesting. I want to save that for later. I click my little button to add it to my Pocket account. And then I go back to it later. Now, the flip side of that is you do have to make time to read them. Otherwise, I got into this position a couple of years into having been using Pocket. I favorited lots of things, but then never went back to read them. So you do have to allocate some time to actually go in and read in them. So that might be over a coffee first thing in the morning. It might be in your lunch break. So you go, right, what are these interesting things that I've saved previously, collated all together? And technically that's also time batching as well, where you're doing all of your reading in a one chunk of time.
Absolutely. And if Pocket won the best testimonial they could possibly get, if it wasn't for that app, I wouldn't spend my Saturday afternoon thinking about jacket potatoes quite as much as I actually did, which I think feels like the perfect place to
review
end today.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure as always. We hope you've taken something interesting from this. Even if it's not something you can act on, it's something you can think about, discuss, share with others, because that's what we're very much about, finding the tech news that might not come across your radar so we can make sure that you are always one step ahead of your competitors. As I said, my name's Darren. I've spent this last half hour with Liz. We are Digi Enable. That sounds very Captain Planet when I say it out loud.
Da-da-da. I like that though. That's cute.
We'll see you again very, very soon.
Thanks very much, everyone. Have a great month. We'll see you soon. Bye.